As we're making our way through the stories in the Bible, we're coming down to the last two, because we got this Sunday and next Sunday, amen? And believe it or not, or as we might say as kids, ready or not, here I come. 2026 will be with us in just a couple of weeks. But I want to encourage you this morning, if you will just take your Bibles and begin opening them to Ephesians chapter 2. As I look at this, and we're coming today from the idea of love through the resurrection. We're going to look at the resurrection a little bit today. And remember, we talked last week and we understand that some 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came as a gift to us, he was born on what we call Christmas night. He came very quietly. He came in the quietness as the night began to die down. He came into a world that was too busy to even know he was coming. The predictions were made. The people knew it. They understood. He made his way in to fulfill prophecy. At the appointed time, he was born out in a stable and laid down into a manger, a feeding trough. And then he came. And he grew. But there was something very special about this child. He was God's son. And while he was all God, all divine, he was all human. And he lived in the flesh and he was tempted just like you and I. But he never sinned. And then as his ministry comes to the height of what all was going on, his friend, one of his closest friends, his closest 12, handed him over to a group of rabid religious leaders. And they took him and they killed him for being exactly who he was. Hung him on the cross we talked about last week, the type of death that was reserved for the worst of criminals, yet the only holy and perfect person who ever lived died in the fashion reserved for the vilest of criminals. It was the day before the preparation, and they took him and they put him in a tomb, not even able to give him a right burial at the time, but praise the Lord, there was a reason for that. He didn't even have a place, as we would say today, he didn't even have a grave of his own. He had to borrow someone's grave. But 3 days later, he came out of that grave, amen? He came out alive and arisen, Lord and Savior. And guess what? He is still alive today. He defeated death. He defeated the sin power over those who will receive him. And he did that. God brought him out of the grave. God sent him to the grave, brought him out of the grave because he loves you and he loves me. And that resurrection morning proved his love, that he didn't just leave Christ in the grave. You see, Jesus paid the price when he died on the cross and he shed his blood. God raised him to show us that he received that offering and that there was no longer death over those who chose by faith to come to him. That's what we're going to see today. Sometimes I wonder in life as I go around, you know, why did God love us so much? Then I've asked myself, you know, why did God bring you and me out of sin? Why did he make us alive and give us work to do? So this morning, I want to answer that for you. As I have looked and I have studied what God was speaking to me, and I want to show you 3 reasons why God brought us out of sin and into life and good works this morning. I hope you have your bulletin that you can answer and follow along on there. Maybe this sermon, oftentimes I say, maybe it's for you, maybe it's not. Maybe it's for someone else. And God is going to use you as a conduit to share it with someone else. So that's why I encourage you to fill that out as we go along. I'm going to ask this morning that you would stand with me as we look at Ephesians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 1. God's word says to us this morning, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Father God, this morning, Lord, I pray that through your power and your anointing this morning, Lord, that you would open our minds. Father, you would help us to see and to understand and to hear the truth of your word. And Father, only as you can, would you help us today to take that truth and to move it from our heads to our hearts. Father, that it may change who we are, knowing how much you love us, how much you desire for us. And Father God, I just pray, Lord, that you would help me in my flesh just to step aside. Lord, I stand here today in need of your anointing, in need of you to speak through me. Because, Father, honestly, what I have to say means nothing. But what you have to say means everything. Speak through me. Speak to us, your servants. For Father, we're listening this morning. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. As we begin looking at love through the resurrection, we understand that resurrection is the vital part of the gospel message. Being that he didn't stay dead, his offering of himself for us was received, and God did it all out of love. The first reason I want to show you this morning that I believe that there is love through the resurrection is because God wants a relationship with us. Let me tell you that in case no one's told you lately. God loves you, and he loves you so much that he wants a relationship with you. Let that sink in. A holy, perfect God wants an intimate, personal relationship with you and I that are sinners. That's the reason his love comes through the resurrection, because he wants a relationship with us. Why did we need the death, the burial, and the resurrection? Because Scripture tells us that we were dead in our sins and transgressions. Look at Ephesians there, verse 1. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." Oh, we're not that dead laying up here in a casket where we can't breathe. Not that dead. Because of our sin, we were dead in relationship with God. Our relationship was severed. It was cut off because God is holy and God is perfect and He cannot stand sin. And when we sinned, we became separated. We became dead from Him in our sin. And guess what? There's nothing out there that can change that other than Him. We were dead. It goes on even more than that to describe that in verse 2. It says, "In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." We were dead. Let me tell you, church, before you came to Christ, before you received His love, this gift, and those who have not, they're walking under the authority of Satan. And I'm here to tell you today that He is real and that He is powerful. He's not more powerful than God, but Satan is real. And when we're living in sin and we're under the bondage of sin and our relationship is dead, we're following Him, whether we believe it or not. Whether we know it or not, we're following after. We're walking according to the way that Satan does. Satan's the father of what? Lies. And he is the one who enwraps people and makes it look so great. And then as soon as we follow after him, he reminds us of how bad that was. Amen? Because of that, he tells us there also in that verse 3, "Among them too we all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as God." You see, we were dead and we were following after Satan. We were living in the lust of the flesh. We were living in the desires of the flesh, what we wanted, what this fleshly nature wanted. That's what mattered. We didn't care about anything else. We were unable to even go after God. It talks about the desires of the flesh, the lust and the mind. You know, we often read the verse about gluttony. And we see and we talk about gluttony of food, but let me tell you what. There's a gluttony in our life with sin. Anytime we go after the self, anytime that we're going after and we're lusting after, we're desiring after the flesh, it becomes gluttony because it's more and above and beyond what we need. It comes in many ways, in many forms, in many fashions. Gluttony for money. Gluttony for pride. Gluttony for acknowledgement, for status. Gluttony after sex or porn or whatever it may be, those are lust and desires of the flesh that are ungodly. And God loved us enough that He knew that we needed Him and He wants a relationship. And when we're allowing those things to lead and to control our life, our relationship is hindered. He sent the gift of His Son to die and then to come out of that grave. And when we receive it, He frees us of it. He restores our relationship. Amen. But you know what happens? Sometimes our flesh is still flesh. And we begin to seek after those other things. That does not sever our relationship. But I'm here to tell you today, oh, what a mighty way it hinders our relationship and our communication with Him. But guess what? He loves us and there's always forgiveness. You see, the moment we receive Him, the penalty of our sin is paid for. But we must seek Him and He forgives us. He wants that relationship because you see, before we receive Him, it tells us very quickly in verse 3, it says, "And we're by nature children of wrath." It is amazing when you can stop and use the helps that are available and really begin to look at the words and what they meant. Not that we're children of wrath of doing bad things, but we were children deserving of God's wrath, is what that's saying. God wanted a relationship with us because he knew that we deserved that. Let me read to you from Colossians chapter 3 in verse 6. "For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience." Why did he send his son to die and then raise him out of the grave? Because he loves us. And without him, we are deserving of his wrath, which is everlasting separation. Not a word you might want to hear just before Christmas, but those who deserve wrath have a special place. That place is called hell, and it's real. And let me tell you what, I think, honestly, it tells us in the Bible about it being fire and all that kind of stuff. But you know what I think is the worst part of hell? Is the realization and the acknowledgement that you will never have a relationship with God in the absence of his presence. There's nothing worse. But because he wants a relationship, there is love through the resurrection. The second reason is that God knows that we're not capable of change on our own. God knows that we are not capable of change on our own. He wants to show us that love because he wants that relationship. And he knows that we can't do it, and he's such a great God that he doesn't just say, "You know what? I know they can't. Maybe they will. They'll just come along. I'll put something out there." No, he draws us. He knows that we in our flesh are not capable. That's the reason he sent his son. We can't do it. We can't earn it. Verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the," what? "The gift of God." I remember being in seminary, and this verse was kind of a quiz for us in looking into the languages to understand, because there are those out there who will preach this verse incorrectly because of the way it might read in English. Let me just read that to you again. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And those out there will preach you that they say that the gift of God is faith. And that's not what this verse is saying. Look there at your verse. "The gift of God is the that or the this," whatever word your version has, "and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Salvation is the gift of God. We have to have faith in him, but that's not the gift. The gift is the salvation, because God knows we can't do it. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't work hard enough. None of those things. So he had to give it to us. But like any gift that's given, you what? You have to receive it. And we receive it in faith. Why is it faith? Because we have to believe, number one, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have to believe that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, died on that cross, was resurrected out of the grave, ascended to God, that he's coming back. We have to have faith that what he did on the cross is sufficient for what God's demand is, so that we don't have to live in his wrath. You see, we were dead to him. Verse 5 tells us that even while we were dead in our transgressions, dead people can't do stuff. I'll give you on the authority of my license as a funeral director. When that dead person is in that casket, they cannot do anything of themselves. While some may say they may do stuff, they can't. They're dead. And we, in our sins, in our transgressions, are dead to come before a holy God. Number one, because we're blinded. We don't know that we need Him. We don't know how to get to Him. We don't know what it is to suffice what He's asking. And we can't come before Him unless that penalty is already paid. And that's what Christ's death and resurrection did. Because we were separated, we were alienated from Him. He loved us and He came to us. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven all our transgressions. What a verse. While we were dead, while we were His enemy, because of His love through us, the love through the resurrection, He has sought us and gives us the way. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is His ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. It's nothing we can do. He knows we can't do it on our own. It tells us that back in Ephesians 2:6 that He raised us up and said, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ. Through His love, He is provided that way. And when we receive Him, He pulls us, He yanks us up out of there. And just as Christ was resurrected out of that tomb, church, we have been resurrected out of our sin, and we have been placed in the heavenlies with Christ, seating there with Him. God loves us that much, and that His love comes through that resurrection. And the third reason why He loves us through the resurrection is God has work prepared for us. God didn't just pull us up, yank us out of that miry pit, didn't throw that rope down and say, hold on the best you can, and begin to tug and to pull us out to just let us sit there and do nothing. He wants what's good for you. Sometimes we don't like the idea of work, especially some of those growing up today. I mean, we're not going to talk about service or anything like that you get at a restaurant or a store anymore. We don't like the idea of work. But let me tell you how great it is to work with God. Do you know that God loves you enough that He has chosen to allow us to be a part of His work? He could do whatever He wanted, but He has good work for us to do. You see, verse 10 tells us that God designed us specifically. Special. You're not designed just any old way. And as a believer in Him, through His love, He designed us special. Look at verse 10, the first part. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're His workmanship. That word there, we get our word poem from today. You work at writing, you work at a poem. God took time and He chose to create and to design you exactly the way you are because He has something specific for you to do. I don't have to ask you to raise your hand because I know how many of you in here have been through a difficult time in your life. And we wonder sometimes why. Why didn't He just answer my prayer right away and yank me out of sorrow? Why doesn't He just answer my prayer sometimes and yank me out of the pain and just make me well that He can? Because He is fashioning and forming and creating and designing you for something special. Sometimes we go through things because we've sinned and we're out of His will. There's times that we go through things because He loves us and He wants to make us learn who He is more. Make us dependent upon Him. Form and to fashion who we are, because you see, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. And God has plans prepared, the end of verse 10 there, prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Let me tell you, you're not here by accident. You're not who you are by accident. God didn't say, oh, well, today, Miss Linda, she's going to come to Christ. Let me think of something for her to do. No, He had plans beforehand for each of us. That's how much He loves us. He uses us to who we are. And we can look in. I'm just going to list. Just listen to these different verses. I'm not going to read all but one of them. John 15, 8. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Titus 2, 14, Titus 3, 8, James 2, 20, all talk about God having work for us. And listen to this one out of John 15, 8. Jesus is talking to His followers. It says, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be My disciples." You see, that's coming out of the passage that He's the vine and we're the branches. He provides what we need. He gives us work to do. And the Father is pleased with that. The love through the resurrection all comes out of the key verse, I believe, in Ephesians 2, verse 4. Would you look back at that with me? It says, "But God," this is after coming about us being dead in our transgressions, "but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us." There is love from God through the resurrection. God wants what's good for us. And church, knowing that He loves us, that He wants a relationship with you, and He knows that you can't do it on your own, that He has given us the greatest, can't say it big enough, the greatest gift ever given, the life of His own Son, to be clothed over in flesh, to come from heaven and to be born lowly. No pomp and circumstance till He's born. Then the angels did that to the lowly shepherds, born to a lowly family in a lowly place so that He could reach you and I. Love. That's what Christmas is all about. May you bow your heads. Father God, this morning I just thank You for Your love. Father, I thank You for who You are, and Father, You are love. Father, Your word tells us God is love. Father, I pray now that You would help us to really understand and to receive that love that You have for us. And Father, I just pray that Your mighty hand would move in these next few moments. Lord, as we call upon You now through Holy Spirit to take what it is that we have heard, the truth of it, be convicted of Your love through this gift of Christmas and through the resurrection. Would You help us to move it to our heart? Father, would You help us in to receive that, to understand that, Lord, to let that soak in. And Father, may we be about working out our salvation and working through You, through the love. Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, the most holy name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.